Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Here is Jeff Pilgrim to commence another chapter of Office Wife.
The world has just gone stark, staring, raving mad. I've just left Stella Bronson. She rang about an hour ago with a fantastic story and said I had to see her at once. So I met her in my car and she told me about the swindle Puller's accountants uncovered tonight. And the appalling thing is, I'm supposed to be the swindler. I'm supposed to have used my position to rob Benny Puller. I can't make head or tail of it, but it must be some kind of a hoax. My accounts are in perfect shape, I'm certain of it. Tressida Bendigo's here in the flat at the moment looking pretty grim. But I only have to keep my head. Someone's made a mistake, but it's not me.
Well, come along, men. Speak up. I'm giving you an opportunity to state your case. But I warn you, Jeff, it better be good.
Before I start saying I haven't swindled anyone, would you mind telling me a bit more, sir?
It's this fellow Barker, Port Kensington. You had two checks drawn, open checks, and sent to Barker. Post office, box number...
What about them?
Barker's not Puller's agent or anyone else is. As far as Puller's concerned, Barker doesn't exist.
Oh, nonsense. That's all the fuss is about.
Don't talk like that to me. I've just come from Puller. I've seen his books.
I don't care what you've seen, sir. It's all a ridiculous mistake. I have a letter on file at the office instructing me to pay Barker by open check without any further authority and signed by Puller himself.
Jeff, how many more times do I have to tell you? Puller's never heard of this chap Barker.
I don't care, tuppence. I pull his letter and that settles it. Oh, look, sir, can't I wait till the morning? We could go on like this all night and I know you must be worried out of your mind. What about a drink? Where's Marcia?
In her room. I asked her to keep out of the way. Jeff, on your word, you're not in deep water. This is just a lot of rubbish.
I can't account for it, sir, but the whole affair's preposterous. Let's have that drink and we'll clear matters up in the morning.
I don't know. I'd be better off. I want to see Puller again. I would have a nightcap some other time, Jeff. But if you get any ideas about leaving town tonight, I may as well warn you. You won't get far. Say goodnight to Master for me.
Thank the Lord I have Puller's authority. That letter. Master!
Jeff, I want to know at once what's going on. Uncle Tressida shunted me into the bedroom the moment he heard you open the door. Where did you go tonight?
I went to see Stella.
Did that have anything to do with Uncle Tressida?
Yes. You see, darling, I'm supposed to have swindled Benny Puller out of £3,800. Stella wanted to warn
you. You were supposed to have done what? Oh,
come here and sit down and I'll tell you. Someone's pulled the most frightful boner. Don't ask me who, but one thing we do know, darling, it's nothing for us to worry about.
You're supposed to have robbed the firm and you say it's nothing to worry about.
Shook me for a moment. The way Stella sounded on the phone and so on, but it's really too darn ridiculous for words.
Well, it's all very well for you to treat it as a joke, Jeff, but you didn't see Uncle Tressida's face when he walked in here tonight. And if you're not scared, I am.
Oh, look, honey. Down in the filing room at work, carefully laid away, is a document on Benny Puller's nice, stiff, thick, bonded notepaper. Have you got that? And what's more, the letter's not only been read by me, Palmer's seen it, discussed it with me. And come to think of it, Harry took the thing to the filing room and shoved it away himself. There now, get that frown off your pretty face, Mrs. Pilgrim, and leave Benny Puller to me.
Well, I only hope you're right, darling.
Of course I'm right. I'll twist old Benny's nose in the morning, you'll see if I don't.
All right, Glover. Let me do the talking. Jeff's on his way up now. You've all the books and papers?
All Puller could give me last night.
What time did you leave Puller?
A bit after one.
Well, quickly, before he gets up here, what's your honest opinion?
You want a candid opinion?
I'm not asking you to pass the time of day.
Pilgrim's married into your family, Mr. Bendigo. That's all I'm hedging for.
You didn't hedge. What do you think, so far?
It's as plain as the nose on your face. Jeff Pilgrim's not the chap you take him for. He's a crook. Here he is now.
Oh, good morning, sir. You're early. Morning, Frank.
Morning.
All right, Jeff. Let's skip the chit-chat. Take a seat. Frank Glover here spent half the night with Benny Fuller and his accountants. And we've every scrap of paper we need to get at the truth of this affair.
Oh, good. I'm pleased to hear it, sir.
You might be in a few minutes. Fuller's very kindly agreed to keep out of the picture till I've come to a decision. So let's make a start. Some months ago, you went to Percy Fleming with a new scheme which called for an improvement in office procedure. You wanted account executives to authorize their own bills for payment instead of the chief clerk, right?
That's correct.
The scheme was put into effect, and on the strength of that, you had two checks drawn for Joseph Barker.
On the strength of that be hanged, sir. On the strength of Benny Puller's written instructions and authority.
Well, I'm coming to that. Now then, these checks were drawn on the 21st of last month and the 2nd of this.
It's all down there in black and white, Mr. Bendigo. What are you driving at?
I'm driving at the fact that those checks were open and that Joseph Barker doesn't exist.
Then what did Puller want to write a letter for?
I don't believe Puller did that.
You have the letter itself, haven't you?
No.
Well, why not? It's on file.
It's not on file. There's no sign of it.
But that's absurd. Just a minute, I'll go and get it myself.
You'll be wasting your time, Pilgrim. I've been through the Puller file from top to bottom. And there just isn't a letter.
But... Now, look here, both of you. This is getting out of hand. I know what I'm talking about.
Jeff, why not drop this act? It's getting you nowhere.
Act? You say I'm putting on an act?
You better tell him, Glover.
Here's how you stand, Pilgrim, from where I'm sitting. You had yourself some invoices printed and sent yourself some bills in the name of Barker. You took a post office box for an address. And you've been having these open checks collected for you, and you've been salting away the proceeds.
You're crazy, Glover. Mr. Bendigo, how much longer does this go on?
It goes on till you produce that letter from Benny Puller. Frankly, Pilgrim, I've never seen anything so open and shut or so clumsy. How the devil did you expect to get away with it?
But you infernal fool, I haven't done a thing. I don't have to stand here and listen to this.
Just a minute, Jeff. Losing your temper will get you nowhere. This letter you keep harping on, if you actually had it, someone else must have seen it. Who filed it? Did you?
Of course. Of course. Palmer was going down to the fire room. Palmer filed it for me. I read it to him. Let's get Harry Palmer in here.
You say Harry Palmer took the letter and filed it?
Yes. Now I come to think, Harry Palmer brought the thing in here. It was mixed up with his mail.
Now we're getting somewhere. Palmer. You there, Palmer?
Wasn't he going down to the waterfront this morning for an hour or two?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. It'll have to wait. All right, Glover. That'll be all for now.
Before I go, do you mind if I make a suggestion, sir?
Fire away.
Pilgrim, how many bank accounts have you?
One, of course.
Mind if I go and pick up your statement?
Do you want my balance, too? Here, I can tell you to a penny.
No.
Go and find out for yourself. And when Palmer gets back, I'll be waiting for an apology. Not only from you and Mr. Bendigo, but Puller as well. All the fantastic rubbish I ever heard in my life. Wait till Palmer gets back. Then we'll see who's been embezzling.
I was passing on my way back from the wharves, Marcy, and I thought I'd drop in. Just for a minute. Now, what's all this about Jeff?
You mean this silly mix-up of Benny Puller's agent or whatever it is?
Yes, yes, I left early. I haven't seen Jeff this morning, but it's all over town. Don't ask me how these things spread.
Jeff told me it was nothing but a lot of rot. Whatever he's done, he had Puller's authority for.
Yes, that's just what sticks in the back of my head. I don't like this business, Marcia. You might be in for a frightful shock. I'd like to help
Jeff, if I possibly could...
Harry, I do wish you'd say exactly what you mean.
No, darling, I've said too much about Jeff and Stella before, and I'm not going to begin all over again.
Stella? Where does she fit in this time?
Oh, confound it. I've been waiting for something like this to happen. Has Jeff been seeing Stella lately?
Yes. He was with her last night.
And he says he had Puller's authority. Oh, when are you coming to your senses, Marcia? Stella's in Benny Puller's pocket. Surely you know that. Jeff and Stella can work anything between them.
But what have they worked? Oh, Harry, tell me, please.
Marcia, I can't. Not yet, so help me, I can't. All I can say is, keep your fingers crossed till I've been to the office. They're waiting on me now. But you will have to find out sometime, darling.
Good. We're all here at last. Now then, Palmer, according to Jeff, you can clear up the matter of a certain letter from Puller. Jeff, let's have it.
Yes, Harry. You remember a couple of weeks ago, a letter from me was mixed up in your morning mail and you brought it in here. I read it to you. You were going to the filing room, so you took it with you. Remember?
I'm sorry, old man.
But of course you remember it. From Puller, about that fellow Barker. His agent at Port Kensington. Rack your brains, there's a good chap. This is important. You do recall it, don't you?
Well, Palmer, what about it?
I'm sorry, gentlemen, I haven't the faintest idea what he's talking about. Let's see you get out of this one, Jeff, old boy. You're sewn up tight, and only Marcia can intercede to keep you out of jail. If she wants to, that is. And somehow I don't think she's going to want to. Marcia's going to be very, very cross with you in the next few days. Oh, it's too bad.
We invite you to listen to further episodes of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.